بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 25th session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of 50 hadith, جزاك الله خير, of Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, with the sharh or commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And tonight we'll be looking at hadith number 21, inshallah. But before doing so, we want to take a look at and a quick review of some of the points that we covered in last week's session in the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 24. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 20. The main topic or subject of hadith number 20. Anybody? MashaAllah. Anybody remembers hadith from last week? Now, what was the summary of the main topic? Al-Hayah. Yani the... Naam, fadl.
We have no shyness, then do what you will.
Naam. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or that it is mentioned, if a person doesn't have haya, shyness, or modesty, or shame, then do whatever you will. Naam. So this hadith is an encouragement for a person to have this characteristic of a haya, and it also, and he shows the excellence and superiority of this characteristic over many others. The second question, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith, in whose collection this hadith is found? Naam, Abdul Wali.
Abu Mas'ud, Ubah bin Amr, Ansari al-Badri.
Naam, Abu Mas'ud, Uqbah ibn Amr. Al-Ansari al-Badri, radiallahu anhu, and the collection in which this hadith is found? The collection of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. The third question, what is the intended meaning of An-Nubuwa al-Ula in the introductory sentence of this hadith? What is intended by An-Nubuwa al-Ula, according to how the Shaykh explained it? Naam, for
the... passing down the fundamental of...
And that the statement in this hadith is from that which the people reached. Yani the people obtained from... Naam.
From the prophets of the past.
From the earlier prophets. And nubuwa, what is intended by an-nubuwa yani al-anbiya al-mutaqaddimin. Yani the earlier prophets. That it was passed down yani from one generation to another. From the earlier prophets. Now, that the earlier prophets, they had this statement, that they taught the people this statement, and the people circulated it, and they passed it down until it reached this ummah. Now, question number four, mention the first of the qawlan, two views concerning the meaning of, if you feel no shame, do whatever you will. So there are two views from the scholars concerning the meaning of this statement. Yani if you don't have any haya, then do whatever you will. What's the first view of the scholars that the Shaykh mentions? Naam.
That it's not an intended command. What's intended is not a command.
That it's not intended that you are being commanded to do whatever you will, no matter what it is. It's not a command to do whatever you will, no matter what. No. That's the first saying, and the... And this particular view of the scholars, the Shaykh mentions that there are two ways or methods that they explained it. That's question number five. Mention the tariqah, the two ways or methods of explaining the first qawl or the first view concerning this hadith. Now, Abdul Wali, you know.
That as long as the thing that you wish to do is not prohibited in Islam, and do what you want.
That's the second view that the Shaykh explained. Now, we'll come to it, inshallah. But before that, the first view is what? Is that the meaning here is not a command to do whatever you will. The meaning of it is not to do whatever you will. And they explained it. Yani they explained then the prophet this statement. They explained this statement. How did they explain it then? If yani the words of the statement is do whatever you will. Isna ma shi'ta. Okay, so one of the interpretations of it is that this is not intended to be a command to do whatever you will. Rather, it's a threat. That if you do whatever you will, even that which is haram, then you will suffer the consequences. Naam. So this is one of the two ways. And the other way is that they explained it.
That is a notification.
That is khabar. That this is a statement of information of the reality of what will happen. If a person doesn't have haya, they will do whatever they will. Yani it's not a command to do whatever you will. Rather, it's a statement of information informing us that this is what people will do when they don't have haya. When they don't have haya. Naam. The sixth question mentioned the second of the qawlan, the two views concerning the meaning of if you feel no shame, do whatever you will. What is the second yani view of the scholars? It's the opposite of the first view. And the first view is what? Naam. You have it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's haram, don't do it.
The second view is the opposite of the first view. First view is that this is not a command to do whatever you will. The second view is that it is a command to do whatever you will. But that is, if what you are intending to do is something that is from acts of obedience to Allah, or something that's part of good character or good manners, or things that, yani, are good. If it's something good, then yes, do whatever you will from that which is good. Yani, the meaning here is that the meaning of this statement is as it appears to be. Yani, the expression is a command, but it's a command to do whatever you will when the thing that you want to do is something that is good. It's from the acts of obedience. Now, question number 7, discuss briefly the two types of haya, shyness or modesty mentioned by Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. Two types of haya. Fadl.
The first person is, this is how a person is created. It is from the picture.
Naam, that a person, the first type of haya is that which a person is, and he born with a natural disposition of this type of quality or characteristic of modesty or shyness. They're born like this. Naam, and the second?
Having shame causing a person to refrain from haram.
The second type of haya, one of them is that which is natural that a person is born with, and the other one is not natural. That's the first type. The second type is that which is
acquired.
That which is acquired. Yani that a person wasn't born with that characteristic, but they worked at it. Yani they worked at developing haya. Now, question number 8, discuss briefly how Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, says the acquired haya, shyness or modesty, how is it attained? And he mentioned a number of things that a person acquired modesty is attained by?
Having knowledge of Allah.
And he said also?
Knowing that he is watching over us.
Also? That he knows the secrets of what's in the heart. And he knows what people do that maybe other people don't know. Allah knows that. And also he said, very importantly, he said, knowing Allah and also knowing the greatness and the majesty and the glory, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also knowing that he is near to his worshippers, that Allah is near. He's near. He's watching over the believers, the people, and he also has knowledge of even that which is secret. So these are from amongst the means through which a person attains haya. When they know Allah, when they know the greatness and majesty of Allah, it makes them shy from him. When they know that Allah is near, that should make a person have haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to mention that this haya is the greatest type of haya, the haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to any of the shyness that people have in front of other people. Yani people, some people are ashamed of doing certain types of things or speaking with certain type of speech in front of other people. But if they were in private, they are not shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last question mentioned the three fawaid or benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. Three benefits. Naam, Abdul Wali.
The haya is from the noble characteristics nation is from the past.
Naam, the haya is from those noble characteristics or qualities, and that the people of the past also knew about, not just today. Naam. Naam, Ameen? That the loss of haya, the person who doesn't have haya, will cause that person to fall into every type of evil. And the other point that he mentioned, Naam?
Is having haya is an encouragement to have haya in its excellence.
Yani in this hadith is an encouragement. Yani an encouragement for people to take on this quality of haya, and also the mention of its excellence. Naam. So these are some of the points that we discussed last week. Tonight, we're going to be looking at hadith number 21. And the hadith this particular hadith, hadith number 21, has been, yani the explanation of it, of course, the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi has been explained by a lot of scholars. The Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, has given a very brief explanation of this hadith. And so, as in the past, yani we're going to try to also benefit from explanation of some of the other scholars. I'll read the hadith, and then I'm going to begin with a summary of the explanation of Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, as he explained this hadith in a very summarized and very beautiful manner as an introduction, yani, to the hadith. The hadith, hadith number 21, is the hadith of An Abi Amr, Waqila Abi Amrata, Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Qala qultu ya Rasulullah, قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك or in some of the narrations بعدك قال قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم رواه مسلم يعني on the authority of Abu Amr or some said that his kunya was Abu Amrata his name is Abdullah his name is Sufyan the son of Abdullah And some of the scholars mentioned that he was a Thaqafi. رضي الله عنه. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, قل لي في الإسلام. Yani, say something to me. Teach me something concerning Islam. لا أسأل عنه أحدا بعدك أو غيرك. Yani, that I will not have a need to ask anyone other than you or after you. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said two statements قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم say I believe in Allah and then be upright hadith reported by Imam Muslim Imam Al-Qurtubi in his explanation of the summary of Sahih Muslim Al-Mufhim rahimahullah he says concerning this hadith and first of all when he narrates the hadith he said that in this yani the narration that he brought لا أسأل عنه أحدا بعدك instead of غَيْرَكَ. That's the way he narrated. And he said, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ and in some, in a narration it has غَيْرَكَ. So in our book we have غَيْرَكَ. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi narrated the hadith from Imam Muslim as يعني بَعْدَكَ. That, يعني teach me something about Islam that I will not ask anyone after you about it. Or other than you. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, say I believe in Allah and then be upright. He says that this hadith, it is said that this hadith is reported by Al-Imam Ahmed and also Al-Imam Muslim. That's where we are taking it from. He says concerning this hadith, the question of the companion, radiallahu anhu, say to me, قل لي في الإسلام قولا. Yani literally, say to me a word, something, a speech, that I will not ask about it anyone after you or other than you. He said, the meaning of this is, عَلِّمْنِي قَوْلًا جَامِعًا لِمَعَانِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَاضِحًا فِي نَفْسِهِ Yani, Al-Imam Qurtubi said, the meaning of, say to me, a qawl, he said, it means, عَلِّمْنِي Teach me something concerning, what? Islam, that is, جَامِعًا لِمَعَانِي الْإِسْلَامِ Yani, something that is comprehensive in explaining the meanings of Islam, and it is وَاضِحًا, clear, Yani, in and of itself. It's clear. It doesn't require, it's not going to require anybody after you to explain it. Such that, Yani, he explains the meaning of this is such that, Yani, if it's jamian, lima'ani al-Islam, and wadihan fi nafsihi, then, la yahtaj ila tafsir ghayrika. Then it wouldn't need the explanation of anyone other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "A'amal alayhi wa aktafi bihi." I will act upon it, and it will be sufficient for me. It will be sufficient for me. Yani it's comprehensive in explaining the meanings of Islam, and it's crystal clear. So it will be sufficient for me, and I won't have a need after it. He goes on to say, وَجِوَابُهُ بِقَوْلِهِ قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أُوْتِيَ جِوَامِيَ الْكَلِمِ. Yani the saying of the Prophet in his answer to this question, these two brief words, أَمَنْتُ قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, he said this is an indication, a proof that the Prophet has been given جوامي الكلم, yani comprehensive speech, yani speech that is few words and comprehensive, vast in its meanings. He said, and this is what we have been informed of from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I have been given comprehensive speech. فإنه عليه الصلاة والسلام جمع لهذا السائل في هاتين الكلمتين معاني الإسلام والإيمان كلها. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought together, he has combined in these two words, yani in these two short statements, he has combined in them the meanings of Islam and Iman, all of it. All of Islam and Iman is combined in these two statements. Some of the scholars said that the meaning of this is that these two statements contain the two aspects of Islam, that is Al-Aqidah wa Sharia. Al-Aqidah wa Sharia. Yani the statement قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ contains the Aqidah of Islam. And the statement ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ contains the Sharia of Islam. Yani be upright upon what Allah has legislated. Be upright upon what Allah has legislated. And the meaning here is that, yani, that he has brought together the meanings of Islam and Iman, all of it. He said, فَإِنَّهُ أَمَرَهُ أَنْ يُجَدِّدْ إِمَانَهُ مُذَكِّرًا أَمُتَذَكِّرًا بِقَلْبِهِ وَذَاكِرًا بِلِسَانِهِ. Yani that he has commanded him to renew, to revive his Iman, being reminded in his heart and mentioning upon his tongue. Yani the heart being conscious and aware of the meanings, of what is the meaning of Iman billahi. And the tongue, yani, mentioning these words. وَيَقْتَدِي هَذَا إِحْتِحْضَارُ تَفْصِيلُ مَعَانِيَ الْإِيمَانِ الشَّرْعِي بِقَلْبِهِ الَّتِي تَقَدَّمَ ذِكْرُهَا فِي حَدِيثِ جِبْرِيلِ. And he said that what this requires, yani what this statement is requiring, is that a person call to mind, be conscious of the details of what is al-Iman al-Shar'i. Yani not the linguistic meaning of Iman, but what is Iman in the Sharia? What is meant by al-Iman? This, he should be conscious of this in his heart, and the details of this have been mentioned previously in the hadith of Jibril. Then he says, yani he commanded him to, yani, remind himself in his heart of the meanings of Iman and to mention it upon his tongue. Wa amarahu bi al-istiqama ala a'mal al-ta'at wal-intiha an jami' al-mukhalifat. Yani he also, and he commanded him to be upright upon the actions of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani to fulfill those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded one with. And to avoid, to stay away from, to cease all of those things that are contrary to what Allah has commanded. Yani acts of disobedience. Things that Allah made haram. To avoid all of those things. Since, yani the avoiding of those things is necessary because a person will not establish an istiqamah, they will not attain an istiqamah while they have crookedness in their deen. Because crookedness is the opposite of istiqamah. And crookedness means acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, وَكَأَنَّ هَذَا الْقَوْلِ, yani this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, he said, it is as though كَأَنَّ هَذَا الْقَوْلِ يعني مُنْتَزَعْ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, in Surah Fussilat, يعني 30th ayah. It is as though this statement of the Prophet ﷺ is derived, is extracted, is taken from the saying of Allah the Most High, indeed, those who say, our Lord, our Rabb is Allah, and then they are upright, to the end of the ayat. He said it is as though it is taken from this statement. And the meaning of this ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, the meaning of it is, آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَوَحِّدُوهُ, believe, have iman in Allah, and single Him out alone with tawheed. And you have iman in Allah, and single Him out alone for everything that are His exclusive rights of worship and other than that. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَعَلَى طَاعَتِهِ, and then be upright upon that, yani making the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and upon obedience to Him, until death overcomes you. And then he says, yani, وَمُلَخِّصُهُ, yani the summary of the meanings of this hadith is, اِعْتَدِلُوا عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَقَدًا وَقَوْلًا وَفِعْلًا وَدَامُوا عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Yani, the meaning here in summary is that a person should, yani, اِعْتَدِلُوا, yani, take the middle road, the balanced position, not going to one extreme or the other, not going beyond the bounds of what Allah has legislated, nor falling short in fulfilling what Allah has legislated, but yani take the middle course upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of your aqidah, in terms of your speech, and in terms of your actions, and then be consistent. Be consistent in doing so. This is a summary of the meanings of this particular hadith as it came in the explanation of Sahih Muslim by Imam Al-Qurtubi. As far as the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, yani he divides the explanation of this hadith into 3 points. So the first point is about yani the what is indicated in this hadith, the eagerness and the diligence of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, indicated in the question that was asked by this companion. The second point, or I'll say the third point, deals with the benefits that are derived from this hadith. And the second point deals with a number of points. Actually, the second point, what he numbers as number two, contains, in my mind, as I see it, 4 points. So I'm going to single them out as we go through the second point, one by one, so that we see the distinction between each matter that he discusses in point number two, because there are several different things that are all related to one another. So the first point is the hirs of the sahaba, the diligence, the eagerness of the companions in seeking that which is good. The second point is the meaning of Jawami al-Kalim, comprehensive speech that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third point is the meaning of Iman, what is intended by Iman in this hadith, and its relationship with Islam, yani the corresponding relationship between Iman and Islam, and how yani their meaning is understood when they're mentioned together or mentioned separately. The fourth point is al-istiqamah, yani discussion concerning what is al-istiqamah. And the fifth point is the reward for the person who has iman and istiqamah. And then the last point is the fawaid, the benefits that are derived from this hadith. So the Shaykh begins after mentioning the hadith on page 75 of Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen. He says, number one, point number one, يعني أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد الناس حرصا على معرفة الدين وهم أسبقوا إلى كل خير. And this is a tremendous point that the Shaykh is making here, and that is that the companions, generally the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, not just the companions asking this question, but the أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that this is how they were, that they were أشد الناس حرصا على معرفة الدين, يعني they were the most yani eager, desirous of all people to knowing and understanding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, and they were, very importantly, وَهُمْ أَسْبَقُوا إِلَى كُلِّ خَيْرٍ, yani they weren't just desirous of knowing about the deen, but they were the first and the foremost of applying it. They were the first of the people to act upon yani that which they knew in terms of doing good. And the point here is that sure, there are plenty of people who seek knowledge, who attend classes, who go to schools to learn about Islam, who read books, who study the Quran. But the difference between the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the people today is that not only were they the most diligent and eager in seeking knowledge, but they were also the first to act upon it. And that's the key, because accumulation of information is of no benefit to the person who doesn't act upon it. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ said that it will be, yani he said, the Qur'an, but it's in general, al-Qur'an hujjatun laka awlaika, the Qur'an will be a proof for you or against you, Seeking knowledge without applying it will be a proof against you, that you knew and you didn't act upon it. The Shaykh, he says, this eagerness and desirousness to know the things that were necessary about the deen, and their, yani, quickness in acting upon that which they came to know. He said, هذا السؤال من سفيان بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه واضح في ذلك. Yani, the question that this companion رضي الله عنه asked is an indication of the condition of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم generally, that they were very eager to know things about the deen. They wanted to know, and they wanted to know so that they could act upon it. He asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, هذا السؤال العظيم الذي يريد جوابه جامعا واضحا لا يحتاج فيه إلى أحد بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the proof of this is the question, this magnificent question, which what he was intending or hoping to receive in the answer was something that would be jami'an wadihan, that it would be both comprehensive in its scope in explaining to him what he needs to know, and it would also be clear such that yani he there wouldn't be any need to go to anyone بعد after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The thing that makes a person to be free of need of asking anyone else is that the answer is comprehensive. It covers the area, and that is clear, so that you don't need to follow it up by asking about its meaning. This is the first point that the Shaykh mentions. The second point is related to a number of things, 4 points. And the second point is 4 different matters that are related to one another. The first of them is a discussion, brief discussion concerning comprehensive speech, Ju'am al-Kalim. And the next point is the meaning of Iman, what it includes. In this hadith, what is included in the meaning of Iman, as well as the relationship between Iman and Islam. And the following point is Al-Istiqamah, and then the reward for the person who has Iman and Istiqamah. All of this is part of point number 2. The Shaykh begins by saying, أَجَابَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذَا السَّحَابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِجِوَابٍ قَلِيلَ اللَّفْظِ وَاسِعَ الْمَعْنَى وَهُوَ مِنْ جَوَامِ كَلِمِهِ. Yani that the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ responded to this companion with an answer that had few words, but it was vast in its meaning. And this is, yani, what is considered to be from the comprehensive speech that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said to him, yani, kul amantu billahi thumma istaqim. So the meaning of this, the Shaykh says, is that he commanded him, amarahu أن ينطق بلسانه بإيمانه بالله الشامل للإيمان به سبحانه وتعالى وبما جاء عنه في كتابه وفي سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded him to pronounce on his tongue, يعني to express his iman in Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Say, I believe in Allah. يعني he commanded him to express it on his tongue. Yani his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, iman that is shamil lil imani bihi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bima ja'a anhu fi kitabihi wa sunnati rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani this iman that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him to express on his tongue is iman that includes having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it also includes having iman in everything that has come in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yani meaning that this iman in Allah, iman in Allah, al-iman billahi, is the asl of iman and everything else that we believe in. Yani when we talk about the arkan of iman, and when we talk about other things, branches of what Muslims are required to believe in, all of it, all of the arkan of iman derive from, yani the asl of it is iman in Allah. And because as a result of having iman in Allah, then you have iman in his messengers. That you have iman in his revelations. You have iman in, yani, his divine decree and so on. All of it, everything, the arkan, the fundamentals of what Muslims believe in, all of it, the source of it is iman in Allah. Therefore the Shaykh is saying that this iman that he's telling him to express on his tongue is an iman that's inclusive of having iman in Allah and iman in everything else that came in the book and in the sunnah. فَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ فِي ذَلِكَ الْأُمُورُ الْبَاطِنَةِ وَالْأُمُورُ الظَّاهِرَةِ. So a part of this are those affairs that are inside of the person, inward. And also those affairs that are apparent outside of the human being. الْأُمُورُ الْبَاطِنَةِ and الْأُمُورُ الظَّاهِرَةِ. That means that this includes those things that are internal, yani the things of the heart, and those things that are external, the actions of the limbs. And we know that from previous discussions concerning Iman, that Iman is not just the belief, the creed, the aqidah that a person has in their heart, but it's also the speech on their tongue and the actions of the limbs, and that Iman increases and decreases. It increases with any acts of obedience and decreases with acts of disobedience, and so on. And the levels of Iman, of the people of Iman, differ. They are not all the same. This is a comprehensive definition of Iman that many of the scholars of the people of Sunnah have mentioned. The Shaykh is saying here, so a part of this Iman in Allah are those internal affairs, the matters of the heart, and external affairs, yani, that yani are legislated for the person to do, speech and action. And again, this refers to the two matters that most of the scholars said are the two components of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is, the aqidah and the sharia. Yani the aqidah is that which is internal in the heart, and the sharia is the legislation, the laws that people are required to comply with, actions that are required, and speech. So this iman not only includes iman in Allah and whatever came in the book and the sunnah, but it also includes internal matters as well as external matters, and that is because of the qaida, the principle related to these words and other words similarly, yani al-iman and islam. The Shaykh says, لِأَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ وَالْإِسْلَامَ مِنَ الْأَلْفَاظِ الَّتِي إِذَا جُمِعَ بَيْنَهَا فِي ذِكْرِ قُسِّمَ الْمَعْنَى بَيْنَهُمَا وَصَارَ لِلْإِيمَانَ الْأُمُورُ الْبَاطِنَةِ وَلِلْإِسْلَامِ الْأُمُورُ الظَّاهِرَةِ وَإِذَا أُفْرِدَ أَحَدُهُمَا عَنَ الْآخِرِ كَمَا هُنَا فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ شَمَلَ الْأُمُورُ الْبَاطِنَةِ وَالظَّاهِرَةِ. So this is the second point, yani, or the second part of point number two. Yani the Shaykh is explaining here what is intended by Iman in this hadith. Qul amantu billahi means I believe in Allah, and everything else that comes from that in the book and in the sunnah, internally and externally. And this is a complete definition of Iman. He says here that this includes the external affairs as well, which are generally, yani, come under the title or explanation or definition of Islam, as it came in the hadith of Jibril. When he asked the Prophet ﷺ to explain to me what is Islam, he told him the five pillars of Islam, the outward actions. And when he told him what is Iman, he told him the things that Muslims believe in, the inner, yani, affairs. So here, yani, Islam and Iman, each of them have their own distinct meaning if they are mentioned together. The Shaykh is saying here that when Iman and Islam, that they are from those expressions which, when they are combined together, mentioned at the same time, then the meanings are divided between them. And therefore the meaning of Iman is in reference to al-umur al-batina, yani the internal matters, the things that we believe in, the matters of the heart, the actions of the heart. And for Islam is the meaning, yani al-umur al-zahira, the external affairs, as salat and zakat and siyam and things like this. But if they are mentioned separately, one of them mentioned separate from the other, as it is in this hadith, Iman is mentioned by itself, then it includes both the internal matters as well as the external matters. It includes the meaning of Iman as well as the meaning of Islam, and that's why the Shaykh said that the meaning of Iman billahi here, it means, yani, Iman in Allah and all the other things that came in the book of the Sunnah, and also it means, yani, the outward actions as well, not just the internal matters of the aqidah, what people have in their heart, but rather it also includes the things that are legislated for the Muslim to do externally by the limbs of the body. The next point that the Shaykh makes as a part of point number two, yani, he talks about an istiqamah and adhering, yani sticking, being, yani, adhering to an istiqamah. Yani, not that a person is upright one day and not the next day, sometimes and not other times, in public and not in private. But mulazamat al-istiqamah, that a person be upright upon the deen and that they stick to it all the time. That they stick to it all the time. He says here, وَبَعْدَ إِمَانِهِ وَيَقِينِهِ وَثَبَاتِهِ أُمِرَ بِالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَى هَذَا الْحَقِّ وَالْهُدَى وَالْإِسْتِمْرَارَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Yani after having Iman and Yaqeen and firmness upon it, then he was commanded with al-istiqama. Some of the scholars, yani, defined al-istiqama in different ways. None of them really contradicting one another. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said that al-istiqama is luzum as-sirat al-mustaqim. And al-istiqama is that a person adheres to, sticks to the straight path. Yani Islam. Other scholars, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, أن يكون الإنسان معتدلا مستقيما بين الغلو والتساهل يعني من غير الزيادة والنقص يعني that استقامة he says is that a person is معتدل يعني balanced even moderate يعني between الغلو والتساهل يعني going to extremism or يعني leniency that يعني a person goes beyond the bounds or a person falls short of what is required. Both of these are extremes that are rejected. Rather, istiqama means taking the middle course without going ziyada, going above what, beyond what Allah has legislated, nor a naqs, yani falling short in what Allah has legislated, but actually following the path just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated it. So the Shaykh, he says here that in this matter, this point here, after iman, then he was commanded with istiqama, upon the truth and upon the right guidance, and that he adhere to it, that he stick to it, that he be persistent and consistent in this istiqama. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 102nd Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers, O you who believe, observe taqwa of Allah in the way that He deserves. Yani that you show taqwa. Yani fully giving Him His rights. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except that you are Muslims. Yani do not die except in a state of Islam, in a state of submission. The Shaykh says, the meaning of this ayat, is دوموا على طاعة الله وطاعة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى إذا وافاكم الأجل يوافيكم وأنتم على حال حسنة. يعني the meaning of this ayat, observe taqwa of Allah in the way that He deserves and do not die except as Muslims, meaning be consistent, continuous in obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم until if the appointed term, time of your death comes, that it will come upon you while you're in a good condition. Nobody controls when they're going to die. But do not die except in the state of Islam means that you have to be constantly upon Islam all the time. So that whenever you died, you will be in a good condition. This meaning, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions concerning this ayat, that the meaning of this ayat is حافظوا على الإسلام في حال صحتكم وسلامتكم لِتَمُوتُ عَلَيْهِ. That a person should guard and protect and preserve their Islam when they are in good health and when they are safe and secure. Yani, when things are going well, preserve their Islam so that they will die upon Islam. And this is because Allah al-Kareem قَدْ أَجْرَ عَادَتَهُ بِكَرَمِهِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَاشَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ وَمِنْ مَاتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Kareem, due to His generosity and His kindness, He has made it His ada. This is the way He does it. That if a person lives upon something, then He will allow them to die upon that. And if a person dies upon something, they will be resurrected upon that. And we seek refuge in Allah from anything other than that. So the Shaykh, after this point, yani the importance of istiqama and being consistent, adhering to istiqama, and adhering to Islam in every situation or circumstance, so that a person dies upon Islam. And after this, he makes another point, a final point related to this point number two. He says, yani the reward for iman and istiqama. وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي كِتَابِهِ ثَوَابَ مَنْ آمَنَ وَاسْتَقَامَ. Yani Allah has made clear in His book, what will be the reward of the person who has believed and been upright upon that? Yani being consistent and upright upon that, what is required of that iman. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, First in Surah Fussilat, 41st Surah, 30th Ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. That indeed those who, yani the people who say, our Rabb is Allah, and then they are upright, the angels will descend upon them and say to them, don't fear and don't grieve. And you don't fear about what is ahead and don't grieve over what you left behind at the time of death. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ, and accept the good news, yani the promise of Jannah, which you have been promised. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahqaf, 46 Surah, 13th and 14th Ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verily those who say, our Rabb is Allah, and then they are upright, then there is no fear for them, and they will not grieve. Indeed, these are the companions of the paradise. They will remain in it forever, and this is the reward for what they used to do. Yani, the reward for iman, yani, and istiqamah, the reward is that a person will be given, yani, the promise of Allah, they will be given the Jannah. After this, the Shaykh mentions the benefits that are derived from this hadith. Before mentioning the benefits, I'm going to take just a quick look at Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, in his explanation of this particular hadith. He mentions a number of points. The most important of them, he mentioned a discussion concerning iman and a discussion concerning istiqamah. For the sake of time, yani the most important of those points is what he says concerning iman. For the sake of time, but whoever went back, they will benefit tremendously from his discussion concerning istiqamah as well. But importantly here, yani his understanding, as the Shaykh alluded to, mentioned clearly actually in his explanation, that iman here in Allah means iman in Allah and in everything that Allah requires us to have iman in, that came in the book and the sunnah, including internal and external matters. Here, the Shaykh's discussion, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, relates to the definition of iman that is well known amongst the people of sunnah, which is different than many of the people who deviated concerning the issue of iman. Yani the issue of iman is an issue in which many of the people who identify with Islam deviated upon it in their understanding of iman. So here the Shaykh, yani, reminds us of these important aspects of what is meant by iman, and he says, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kul amantu billahi, say you believe in Allah, he said iman as it is ma'lum, as it is known, wa taqarra bayanu, and the clarification of what is iman is repeated, yani again and again and again, because of its great importance in understanding what is iman. Many people, Muslims included, like other people, believe that iman is that which somebody has in their heart. You have a conviction in your heart, person tells you, don't tell me about what I'm doing, I have iman in my heart, you don't know what's in my heart. No, we don't know what's in your heart, but we see what you're doing. And iman is not just what's in your heart. Iman is what you say and how you act and your compliance or lack of it with what Allah has legislated. All of that is part of iman. So the Shaykh says that iman, as it is well known, and its clarification has repeated again and again, أنه قول باللسان واعتقاد واعتقاد بالقلب وعمل بالجواري. That iman is speech on the tongue and the conviction that's in the heart and the actions that are performed by the limbs of the body. All of this is iman. وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ يُبَيِّنْ هَذَا, and this hadith makes that clear, that iman is not just conviction in the heart. The Prophet ﷺ said, say, I believe in Allah. هَذَا قَوْلٌ, yani this saying, this statement, this is the qawl aspect of iman, expressing it. So a person says, I believe in Allah. And then that person has to be upright upon that, في قلبه ويقينه, yani that which is in his heart, yani he has to stick to it. So that which he is, yani which he has professed on his tongue, it must also be in the heart, and he must be certain about it. And he also must be upright upon it in his amal, his deeds. لأن الاستقامة تعني استقامة القلب واستقامة الأعمال. يعني استقامة here is يعني the uprightness, the correctness of that which is in the heart, as well as the correctness of one's deeds. فجمع له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خير كله, الخير كله في هاتين الكلمتين, كل أمنت بالله ثم سقيم. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has combined in his response to this question every aspect of al-khayr, goodness, in these two words. When he said, say you believe in Allah and then be upright. Because this iman in Allah and this uprightness comprises the whole of the deen. Islam and iman, yani the aqidah and the sharia. And then the Shaykh says, and this is yani what I'm going to yani stop with from what we're quoting from Shaykh Salih Fawzan. He says, فَلَا يَكْفِي أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلَا يَقُولُ بِلِسَانِهِ. It is not sufficient that a person believes in their heart, or at least claims belief in their heart, and then they don't express it on their tongue. It's not sufficient. That's not sufficient. He said, وَلَا يَكْفِي أَن يَقُولُ بِلِسَانِهِ وَلَا يَسْتَقِيم فِي قَلْبِهِ وَأَعْمَالِهِ. And it is not sufficient as well that a person expresses this on their tongue while what is in their heart and their deeds are not yani upright upon it. It's not sufficient to just claim in the heart and not express it on the tongue, nor is it sufficient to express it on the tongue without it being in the heart and yani manifesting in a person's actions. بَلْ لَبُدَّ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الثَّلَاثَةِ. Rather, it is essential, it is incumbent, all three of these matters. Number one, النُطْق بِاللِّسَانِ. And number two, الاعتقاد بالقلب. And number three, العمل بالجواري. That a person يعني expresses it on their tongue, and that they have this conviction in their heart, and that they act upon it يعني by the limbs of the body. Here I want to add one more point to that, what Shaykh Salih Fawzan said here, يعني that iman is the conviction that's in the heart, it's expressed on the tongue, and it's manifested by a person's actions. Here I want to add, as Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd mentions in his Muqaddimah to his book, to the book Ar-Risala, he mentions that it is also required that a person, that their actions and their deeds and their creed be in accordance with the Sunnah. He says in the Muqaddimah, أن الإيمان قول باللسان, that iman is speech on the tongue, وإخلاص بالقلب, and it is sincerity in the heart, وَعَمَلٌ بِالْجِوَارِ, and it is actions that are performed by the limbs of the body. يَزِيدُ بِزِيَادَةِ الْأَعْمَالِ, it is increased by an increase in doing good deeds. وَيَنْقُصُ بِنَقْصِهَا, and it is decreased by a decrease in good deeds, as well as by doing acts of disobedience. فَيَكُونُ فِيهَا النَّقْصُ وَبِيهَا الزِّيَادَةِ, so the defect comes with يعني a person doing less good deeds. And the ziyada, increase in iman, comes with a person doing an increase of good deeds. And then he says, and this is what he closed this point with, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, rahimahullah. And Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd is one of the scholars that was very well known for being a defender of the Sunnah. And he was known in history, he's known as Al-Malik al-Saghir. And he was from the Maliki Madhab. And he was yani compared to Imam Malik in his time. He was the leader of the people in the western part of the Muslim world, the Maghrib. And his book, yani, is famous. And his Muqaddimah is really, really important. Yani, I think that this book is translated, and whoever found it, yani, the Aqidah of Ibn Abi Zayd, will benefit from it tremendously. He closes this point by saying, and this is similar to what Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, and that's why I brought it here. He said, لا يقمل قول الإيمان إلا بالعمل. Yani that the completion and the perfection of a person's speech, the speech of iman, will not be completed and perfect illa bil amal, unless they act upon it. Yani the actions of the limbs. Wala qawla wa amala illa bin niyya. And that a person, the speech of iman and the actions of iman will not be complete and perfect except with niyya, except with that which is in the heart, the ikhlas that's in the heart. وَلَا قَوْلَ وَلَا عَمَلْ وَنِيَّ إِلَّا بِمُوَافَقَةِ السُّنَّةِ. And that a person's speech of iman and their actions of the man, and their intentions, and that which is in the heart. None of this would be complete without it all being in agreement with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is critical, because there are people who in their heart, Allah only knows, believes in Islam, believes in Allah, and they express that on their tongue. And they do deeds like prayer and fasting. But guess what? Not in accordance with the sunnah. And Allah doesn't accept any deed unless it is done sincerely for His sake alone and is in agreement with that which He has legislated through the Prophet ﷺ. Here we're going to read the benefits from this hadith. And if we have a few minutes, inshallah, we're going to just have some closing comments concerning this hadith from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, Imam al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his explanation of this hadith in Shajarat al-Iman, Tawdih wal-Bayan al-Shajarat al-Iman. So from the benefits of this hadith, and I'm going to mention the benefits that I'm going to compare, that which Shaykh Abdul Muhsin mentions. He mentions four benefits, and that which Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions, and he mentions five benefits. And some of them, overlap one another, and some of them may be a little bit different. So Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah, he says, number one, from the benefits of this hadith, حرص الصحابة على السؤال عن أمور دينهم. The eagerness of the companions of the Prophet, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, in asking about the affairs of their deen. They were eager to know what they needed to know. Unlike many of the people today who are content, who are satisfied to be identified with Islam, and they don't ask anything, and they don't seek to learn, and they don't bother. Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says concerning this same point, his point number one is close. He says, from the benefits of this hadith is حرص الصحابة رضي الله عنهم على السؤال عما ينفعهم في دينهم ودنياهم. That the eagerness of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them all, is in their asking concerning things that will benefit them in their deen as well as in their dunya. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجل. That a person should be eager and diligent in seeking that which benefits them. The second point, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, Habibullah, he mentions, حُسْنُ السُّعَالِ مِنْ سُفْيَانِ ابْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الدَّالِي عَلَى كَمَالَ عَقْلِهِ وَرَغْبَتِهِ فِي الْوَسِيَّةِ الْجَامِيَةِ. That the asking of a good question on the part of Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu is an indication of the completeness, kamal aqlihi, the completeness and the maturity of his intellect. That question is an indication of the kamal aqlihi. And it is also an indication of his ragba, his sincere desire for a comprehensive advice. Concerning this, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions these two matters, the kamal aqlihi and the his desire, his ragba for comprehensive advice. He mentions them as point number two and point number three in his benefits. He says point number two, the aql, the intellect of Abu Amra or Abu Amrata, in that he asks this magnificent question, which in the end led him to be yastaghni an su'ala'i ahad. Led him to be free of need of asking anyone after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first point. The second point, point number three, he says, from the benefits of this hadith, is that annahu ajma wasiya wa anfa wasiya ma tadammanahu hadha al-hadith. That the most comprehensive advice and the most beneficial advice is that which is contained in this hadith, that is to have iman in Allah and then to be upright upon that. The third point that he mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, Hafidhullah, third point and fourth point, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions them together. So we're going to mention both of them and then we'll go to the benefit from Imam ibn Uthaymeen. He says point number three, al-iman, from this hadith, al-iman billahi wa bima jaa fi kitabihi wa sunnati rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is incumbent upon us to have iman in Allah and in whatever came in his book, the Quran and in the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fourth point is mulazamatu al-istiqama al-haq wal-huda hatta bulugh al-ajal. Yani that a person must adhere, must be continuous in sticking to, adhering to al-istiqama upon the truth and right guidance until the appointed time of their death reaches them. These two points, having iman in Allah and mulazamat al-istiqama, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he mentions them as point number four. From the benefits of this hadith, he says, is that al-iman billahi la yakfi an al-istiqama. That having iman in Allah doesn't make it sufficient. Yani that you can do without al-istiqama. It's not sufficient for you. That you don't need al-istiqama. بَلْ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ إِمَانْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَ عَلَى دِينِهِ. Rather, it is incumbent that a person has iman in Allah, and that along with that, that they have al-istiqama upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is similar to what Shaykh Salih Fawzan said. And the last point that he mentions is from the benefits of this hadith, أَنَّ الدِّينَ الْإِسْلَامِ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى هَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. That the deen of Islam is built upon, its foundation are these two matters. Al-Iman wa mahalluha al-qalb wal-istiqama wa mahalluha al-jawari. Yani Iman is the first matter, its place is in the heart. And al-istiqama and its place are the limbs of the body. And the Shaykh says, wa in kana lil-qalb minha nasibun lakin al-asl annaha fil-jawari wallahu a'lam. He said that yani that the place of iman is the heart and the place of the istiqamah is the actions that a person does with the limbs of their body. He said even though the heart may have some portion of that istiqamah as well, that's applicable to it. He said but the also is that istiqamah is in the actions that a person does with the limbs of their body. And with this, look at the time, we have 4 minutes. With this we're going to close with the summary, yani explanation from Al-Tawdih Al-Bayan, Shajarat Al-Iman. Some of us studied this book together some time ago by Imam Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di rahimahullah. He says in the explanation of this hadith, فَبَيَّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ بِهَذِهِ الْوَصِيَّ الْجَامِعَةِ. Yani that he made clear in this comprehensive advice, أَنَّ الْعَبْدِ إِذَا اَعْتَرَفَ بِالْإِمَانِ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا. Yani that when a person confesses, acknowledges iman, outwardly and inwardly. Yani outwardly with their speech and their actions, and inwardly what's in the heart. Yani both. Yani the person confesses, acknowledges iman inwardly and outwardly. ثم استقام عليه. And then he is upright upon this. قولا وعملا وفعلا وتركا فقد كمل أمره واستقام على صراط المستقيم. He said that person who acknowledges iman outwardly and inwardly, and then they're upright upon it in terms of their speech, and in terms of their deeds, and in terms of what they do and what they leave off. Yani that they do what Allah has commanded and they leave off what Allah has prohibited. Whoever has all of this, he said, then that person's affair is completed, meaning their deen is complete, and they will be upright upon a sirat al-mustaqim. And then he says, and close with this, وَرُجِيَ لَهُ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ مَا مَنْ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. And we hope, it is hoped, that this person will be included with those whom Allah said about them, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. He said that this person who acknowledges the iman, yani outwardly and inwardly, and then is upright upon it in terms of his speech and his deeds and what he does and what he leaves, his affair is completed and he is upright upon the straight path, and it is hope that he will be included amongst those whom Allah said about them that indeed those who say our Rabb is Allah, and then they are upright, the angels will descend upon them and will inform them, yani do not fear and do not grieve, and accept the good news of the Jannah which you have been promised. And the angels will say to them that we are your awliya in this hayat al-dunya, in this world, and in the akhirah, and in the next life. And there will be for you that which you desire, what your nafs, yourselves desire, and for you will be whatever you call for. And this is, yani, a reward from the one who is forgiven and the one who is merciful. Naam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any correction from anything that has been said, then we'll take it, inshallah. Any question or any correction? Okay, we'll stop here then. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khair.